If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
There was no mucking around on the latest episode of AEW Collision because we were going dream match. Apart from those people on the internet that keep telling me it's not a dream match. I'm like, yeah, it's not your dream match, but it is going to be a dream match to some people. This is like me sitting down and going, oh my gosh, I'm going to have a pizza. This is my favourite food. And then you walk in and go, ha ha, pizza, you should be having a burger. It's like,
would you just let me eat?
My friends, welcome to Ups and Downs for AEW Collision. Not called Collision. I just wanted to call that. Now, let's all just have a lovely time together and decide whether all the segments of the show get an up or do they get the dreaded down. Let's go. But yes, it was Bryan Danielson versus Shibata to kick off this thing. And I tell you, as Bryan Danielson does head into semi-retirement, he's just going, give me that guy, give me that guy, give me that guy, and I'm having the best time too. This one was especially impossible though, because do not forget in 2017, both of these guys had such serious head injuries, they were told they were never going to wrestle again. And you fast forward to 2024, and they are doing it. Sometimes you just got to appreciate the simple stuff. I think this was easily Shibata's best match in AEW 2, and we know that Danielson is on a tear right now. And once again, they must have been in the back and like, what do you want to do, man? Like, well, should we try and kill each other? The other guy was like, yeah, let's try and kill each other, because they started with these kicks. I tell you, they were just kicking each other. I think they forgot what wrestling was. When that sort of failed, Bryan decided to go after the arm and he was trying to rip it from his body. When Shibata was like, oh, you're going to try and do submissions to me. So he started to lock him in these nasty moves. I was part worried and part like, yeah, get it. The chops came next, of course they did, when Shibata took the American Dragon and he suplexed him on the floor. That's what I knew, man. I was like, yep. They're going to do absolutely everything. It was just one upmanship after this too as they went back to the kicks. At one point, Shibata dropped Danielson right on his head. And yeah, look, later on, they were both sitting down going, give me your best shot. And once again, this set the internet on fire. Like, everybody must have done this, even when you were a kid. Sometimes like, yeah, I can take your best shot. And you let somebody hit you. Do you not think this happens in the fight game? Of course it does. Danielson then tried to get out there with the elbow, which is the pointy bit, when he got dropped with the STO. Shibata was like, well, now I'm going to give you a DVD for the 1-2 ooh. Now look, not in a million years was Shibata going to win this, but my word, did we give him a laugh. Bryan almost instantly got to his feet, though, when he hit the running knee, and that got a 1-2 ooh, and all of a sudden he went, ha-ha, and he locked Shibata in the label lock, and Shibata, he's no fool, he knew what was going on, and he scrambled to the ropes. Bryan then went for another knee, and somehow Shibata turned that into another submission. I think it was called the Iron Lung or something crazy. But then that got turned into the most devastating move in all of sports entertainment, surprise roll-up. Then there was another submission. Then there was another most devastating move in all of sports entertainment. But eventually, I think Bryan Danielson panicked the most and he hit the ultimate surprise roll-up and he got the 1-2-3. And afterwards, they were hugging and shaking hands. If you were into matches that are kind of simulated, like two people trying to wreck the other, you have to watch this. It was absolutely excellent. It was absolutely fabu. Let's get it up. We then got caught up on all the stories with Mercedes Moné, Willow Nightingale, and Chris Statlander and Julia Hart and Sky Blue. There was another reason for this. We were about to have a TBS Open Challenge. Now it was Trish Adora who answered Julia Hart's call out, and I don't know whether Trish has had the I'm Officially All Elite banner, but she probably should. Not only is she really good, but she got some unique offense. The house rules were in place too, and this had some mad ramifications. Because both of these guys are affiliated with the House of Black and Infantry respectively, whoever did lose would not be allowed to be at ringside for the House of Black versus the Infantry tag match later on. You got that? Good. Adora instantly caught Julia Hart in a submission as well when she did this crazy splits thing. And from there, she must have been watching the first match because she had all the tap-out moves inspired by Shibata. But that didn't work. She just slammed Julia, although Hart then remembered she's a big fan of the Batman Arkham Asylum games because she dodged a charge She started working away on Trish. Judy then tried for the Heartless, but Trish turned that into the most devastating move in all of sports entertainment. So once again, she had been watching. And after this, it was just wrestling tennis. They kept going back and forth. Hart did land the best blow, though, and she was a bit worried because she scooted up to that top rope on Tina the Turnbuckle, and she hit the moonsault, and she got the 1-2-3. Seriously, she definitely knew her back was against it. I think we also said that it's Willow and Chris taking on Julia and Sky come Dynamite. And it's going to be like a no DQ match or a hardcore match or something like that. But man, if we go off what we've done in the past, that's going to be super crazy. Not the wrestler from the late 90s. But I just thought this was a good showcase for Julia Hart and maybe an even better one for Trish Adora. We've already talked about it. We then got an update from Friday night because Harley Cameron and Zack Knight were here. I can't go into the depths of this story. Probably just gonna have to Google it. They do hate Angela Parker though, after they got involved with his relationship with Ruby Soho. And that's why tonight, Zack Knight will not take on Cool Hand Ange, because we're in his hometown, and that ain't fair. Therefore, he's gonna call the shots as and where they do this. And later on, we saw Angela Parker, Ruby Soho, and they were super mad about this. Listen, I have been watching this on Rampage. I don't know, man. Something about it for me just ain't clicking. And when it comes to Zack Knight, his character just seems to be, I shout a lot, because I'm really crazy. I just think deep down in my tootsie toes, we could do more with this, especially on a show like Rampage. That can be a super duper creative endeavor, because it has kind of become show number 3 out of all the 3 shows. So I'm gonna give it a down, but as I always say, if you're enjoying it, more power to you, and we as human beings, you can't like everything, it's not realistic. When we got our first of the random collision matches, it was Lee Moriarty versus Daniel Garcia. Matt Menard was also backing his fake son on commentary, which also adds to the proceedings. And here's basically the headlines. Garcia is great. Lee Moriarty is great. This was pretty damn good. Daniel just booted Lee right in the knee to begin with, which seemed a little bit mean, but this is why Shane Taylor was on the outside, because he is in charge of Shane Taylor Promotions. He was casting distractions, and it totally worked. Moriarty got back into it. He was able to hit a belly to belly as he tried to weaken Danny's arm. You know the deal with Garcia. He loves this kind of stuff. And he basically said, hey, come here, Lee. He punched him right in the face. As soon as he could, he went back to the Lee as well, and he hit a backdrop driver for the 1-2. And even though Moriarty was able to take a med back, he wasn't able to capitalize, because by this point, damn it, his walking device was screwed. He was able to boot Danny right in the chest and tried to get the victory here. This was actually quite good, because Danny Garcia had been working the leg the whole time, so when nothing else would connect, he locked in the heel hook, and Lee Moriarty had to tap out. This is like a night of submission. So it's likely a reminder that we should probably do more with these guys in the future. Although when it comes to Garcia, I think we're giving him wins so that when we do get through Adam Copeland and Christian, which we'll talk about later, he can be like, oh, hi, I didn't lose to either of you. Geese me my title shot. And on that occasion, it'll actually be deserved. So if we do that, this was a very smart match. And I believe that we will. We're then going to confirm that Darby Allin will not be climbing Mount Everest. Because get this, man, in his match with Jay White, he broke his foot legitimately. So now doctors are like, sorry, pal, you can't go. He apparently did this early on, though, so more power to that guy for getting through it. When we got to random collision match number 2, it was Pac taking on Aaron Solo. Now that one really did come out of nowhere. Now, Solo did try a surprise Pac here by running at him, but that was never going to happen because this was just a showcase for the bastard. And he absolutely whooped this guy's ass. He hit the black arrow. Surprise, surprise. Made him tap out to the brutalizer. So you just can't surprise Pac, even if you said, haha, we're gonna audit your taxes, he would be ready. And he also got the microphone afterwards, only he could get away with this. He was like, Tony Khan, I'm looking for trouble, and if you don't bring trouble to me, I will start causing trouble. Something like that. The way he said it was way cooler, but honestly, he's so damn good and somehow really underrated. So I truly do love Pac, and I cannot wait to see what we do with him here. There's so many people I want him to fight with, so it is gonna get him up, but having these two matches back to back, just one of those collision moments where you're like, yeah, I know exactly who's going to win here. So it's just a teeny tiny doubt. I mean, maybe put something else in between just to separate it out a bit. But I tell you, I'm just going to say it twice. I've said it 3 times. I'll say it 92. Pac is bloody brilliant. He's the man.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much. But when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And UnitedHealthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
We then cut to Bryan Danielson, who was meditating after this, and he basically told us, man, I really enjoyed that match with Shibata because once again, it was never meant to happen. Both of us were done. He then turned his attention to Will Ospreay though. And boy, he was not happy. And he kind of tied this in because, oh, Will, you run around saying, oh, someone's going to die in that ring when me and Bryan Danielson do come to blows. But you've never been in the position that I have been in. I almost gave my life for this sport. So what do you think I'm going to do when I meet you in the squared circle? So basically, he doesn't believe Ospreay is prepared because Bryan is going to reach another level. And I can't wait for this, once again, to go back to that discourse on the internet. As far as I'm concerned, you're allowed a different of opinion. A great story is, I think I'm the best. And the other guy says, well, I think I'm the best. That is literally every single thing we do in sports every single day. I cannot wait for this. Honestly, I might even go hibernate till AEW Dynasty. Match of the Year contender incoming. When Lance Archer beat Claudio Castagnoli. And honestly, I could have guessed 172 times what was going to happen in this match, and I would have totally got it wrong. Now, this was sort of treated as two big men slapping man meat, which I always enjoy, because they were doing shoulder tackles, when at one point they just spilt to the outside. Archer was so upset by that, though, he absolutely crushed Claudio with this cannonball, and then he hit this Shiranage for a what-do-oo. Lance Archer always makes me laugh, because don't forget, his song that he comes to the ring goes, everybody dies. And he gets to the ring, he genuinely wants to murder people. Claudio is also a monster too, though, so he kind of shrugged this off when he gave a massive suplex to Lance Archer. And once again, go and look at Lance, he is not a small man. He then went to the Sagat uppercuts because he loves those, so Lance was like, oh, you ain't doing that to me, so we gave him a choke slam. When Castagnoli came back with a DVD, that's when I saw it. I was like, man, these guys got good chemistry, give me more of it. Archer decided at this point, though, he didn't want to be neutralized, so he wiggled out of that. When, of course, Claudio Castagnoli hit a springboard uppercut courtesy of Sagat, because that's what he does. And just when he was going to do the big swing, and he did get this guy up, out of everybody on the roster interfered, it was the Righteous. Where they come from? Now, of course, that meant that we did get a disqualification here, which does feel like a big deal. There's always something to stow away for a rainy day. The fact that AEW doesn't do this very much, I mean, it always feels like a big deal. Bryan Danielson must have been watching on like Batman, because he just ran out instantly, but his maths was no good. This was 3-on-1. Surprise, surprise, he got murked. It did mean that of all people, it was Shibata who came out to make the save, because as commentary told us, John Moxley isn't here tonight. And the reason he had thought this through a bit more is he had a chair, everybody ran away. So this was totally out of left field and I don't know what it means, but I kind of have a feeling the reason we've done this is because at the moment, the Blackpool Combat Club aren't in that tag team title tournament, so this is a distraction. But look, come on a bit closer, I'm gonna whisper this to you. The BCC should definitely be in that tag team title tournament. So given that this was totally mad and that Lance and Claudio had a really good match, I am gonna give it an up. And also, I appreciate the way AEW uses disqualifications. Because I feel like I've worked it out, even though I am dumb, yeah, the BCC not being in that tag tournament doesn't make any sense to me. It is 2+2=potato. However, when you look at the brackets, there are still some wild cards. But I'm going to go with my gut, and I'll give it a down. They've been on fire recently. We will wait and see. When it was time for Kyle O'Reilly to prove he can do it by himself, was taken on Brian Keith. Now, once again, this made me chuckle because somebody else had said this to me. Because, of course, on Dynamite, Carl had been like, well, I looked through that roster and I picked you, Brian. And then you look at Keith's record. I don't think he's ever won in AEW. So I was like, I know what you're doing, Kyle. Actually, it's quite smart. So this was mostly there to remind you what a good performer Kyle O'Reilly was, because yeah, he may have been out 2 years, but dude, he can totally go. And as for this Brian Keith, well, eventually we're going to have to light a fire under his ass, because he can go too. Brian kind of brought it to Kyle at the early going here as well, until O'Reilly kneed him in the face. But Brian was like, you don't do that to me. So he dropped him with a DDT. O'Reilly then kept smashing knees, because if it worked 688 times, why not do it 689? When he switched to the back suplex and then right into the triangle choke, that was the first moment. I was like, oh yeah, Kyle O'Reilly really good. Keith then used his head literally because he gave him a headbutt and continued to focus on the scar because he gave him enziguri. When Kyle came back with his mad brain buster for a 1-2, ooh, having a good time. I think he must have knocked Brian a little bit loopy after that as well, because he instantly applied the armbar. And do you know what Brian Keith did? Within milliseconds, he was tapping out. In many ways, I think when somebody does apply that submission, you should get instant tap outs. Really makes it feel devastating. Kind of interestingly too, the Undisputed Kingdom came out after this and they even put Carl on their shoulders. I was like, I can see what's gonna happen here. We're gonna tease. And eventually O'Reilly will be up there in the air and Roderick Strong will be like, drop him, friends. That's how we get to our big old international title feud. I am not mad at that at all though. And once again, it's just so nice to see Kyle O'Reilly back. I super enjoyed this. But then got reminded that on Rampage, Thunder Rosa was introduced as Deonna Purrazzo's tag team partner, and these two are going to be taking on Toni Storm and Mariah May. This actually made loads of sense too, though, because even though Thunder was a bit like, I don't trust you, Deonna, as she said to Lexi Nair, hey, I never lost that world championship, and who has it now? It is Antonia Storm, so I better go and whip her ass. Quite excited about this tag match. I think it's going to be pretty good. When Collision finally did the thing. Hell yeah. So we have spoken about it time and time again, that we do get all these random matches. It's like, well, you're definitely going to win, and they're definitely going to lose. So at some point, the people that were definitely going to lose were going to have to win. That's what we're talking about right now. Because it was the House of Black versus the Infantry to figure out who was going to go into the World Title Tournament. And look, let's just be honest here. Brody King and Buddy Matthews, for a long old time, were killing these dudes. But at one point, they were even throwing them into Alan the Announce table and then giving them pile drivers on it too. I was like, man, this is getting out of hand. Barry Barricade was also being used, and at one point Charlie Bravo was just dead on his feet when he got the hot tag to Sean Dean, and honestly, more power to this guy, because he hopped up to Tina the Turnbuckle, he went for something off the top rope, but he slipped. But do you know what he did? Without even missing a beat, I don't even think his brain had time to function, he just grabbed Buddy Matthews and gave him a back suplex. Honestly, do you know how hard that is when you're in the moment going, oh my gosh, I can't believe it? Also, do you know what it did? It made this match feel more real. There's that word again. I like that a lot. So the quote-unquote mistake actually added to the occasion. Although, kind of sucked to be Sean. He then turned around, Brody King, hit him with this lariat so hard. I'm laughing because I'm so scared. This is where Buddy Matthews decided he was done and he hit the curb stomp. And I guess he kind of got a 1-2 ooh. But at the two, it was he who broke up his own pin. I was like, bud, you're probably going to regret that. I was right too, because Julia Hart was going, oh, climb the top rope, buddy, climb the top rope. But that also distracted the referee. So when Matthews was up there, all of a sudden, who teleported in and smacked him with a chair? It was, of course, Mark Briscoe. He hates these guys. It meant that he fell down to the canvas and was totally done. And somehow Sean Dean must have known this. And he climbed over and he just pinned the guy and he got the 1-2-3. I was going absolutely nuts. Because, man, the Infantry had put in the work. They deserved to be in the tournament. And even here, they understood their role. They got totally whipped, but still won. Honestly, this was a really good bit of business, as they do say. And given that they are taking on FTR, I hope they get a little bit more. And hell, maybe they can win. I think they're going to win, but I am going to give it an up. What a fun, different wrestling match. It also means, of course, we can continue on the House of Black versus Mark Briscoe feud, which is also fine, when Adam Copeland came down, because he wanted to discuss Christian Cage. Now, he had this box with him again that says Spike on it, which I have to admit is a little weird, but also said, man, we're in Canada. This is our hometown. I never thought I was going to wrestle in Canada again, but also, Cage, when I came to AEW, I didn't want to steal your shine. I didn't want to steal your spotlight. I just wanted to ride off with you into the sunset. But you had to be a massive goober and now I've got to murk you. This is when he did turn his attention to that magic box. He basically started to mention Mick Foley here, although he called him Mrs. Foley's baby boy. But because he used to have some toys that he would name, he's done the same thing. when he pulled out a 2x4 with nails in it, and yeah, he's called it Spike. I got on the phone to the cops right away. I was like, you better talk to Adam Copeland. I did really like it, though, because he's a man after my own heart, because it's fun to name things outside the ring, you know, like on the announce table and Tina the Turnbuckle. Some people get really mad about that. When he once again said to Christian, do you know what I'm going to do with this? I'm going to beat the ego out of your brain. I was like, well, it won't be the ego you beat out. It will literally be his brain. He's also going to make Christian say I quit, which is important because it is the stipulation of the match. And look, a lot of this was totally over the top, but Adam Copeland has such a good delivery, and I can't wait for that match. AEW sold a bunch of tickets too, so I think we're going to have a hot crowd. And I would assume that Adam wins the TNT title, but I'm not totally sure. Either way, I like the fact that Collision ended with a big old promo, because again, that's not usually something that AEW does. So when you do it, it just feels special. What? So overall, I did think this was a good episode of Collision, and mostly it was telling you, you better watch Dynamite on Wednesday, because once again, it feels like a big old show. So hopefully this is All Elite Wrestling getting some momentum back, giving it enough. Now, of course, please do click the video on the screen, which is Ups and Downs for SmackDown, and we can talk about the Rock concert, which is always fun. Like the video, share the video, and subscribe. Let me know your thoughts about Collision in the comments box below. Otherwise, have a lovely day, my friends. Welcome to a brand new wrestling week. Now, of course, we'll probably see you every single day. It's like we're lovers. Shouldn't have said it. Goodbye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.